with this picture here that I'm looking at. Will you ever learn? No? But they should be able to see. But I would like to see, not that I understand, but I'd like to see Radha Gopinath, not that I understand them. Can you see? Text 34. Okay. The killing of the demon Putana. Ooh. Heavy. Dayamanasya.
Dayamanasya.
Dehasya.
Dhumas
cha guru saurabha.
Dhumas cha guru saurabha.
Utita
Krishna nirbukta.
Sapadya hatapapmanaha. Having sucked the breast of the Rakshasi Putana, when Krishna killed her, she was immediately freed of all material contamination. Her sinful reactions automatically vanished. And therefore, when her gigantic body was being burnt, the smoke emanating from her body was fragrant like aguru incense. Nice. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Such are the effects of Krishna consciousness. If one somehow or other becomes Krishna conscious by applying his senses in the service of the Lord, one is immediately freed from material contamination. You're nodding your head like you understand. Do you understand? I mean, it's hard for me to understand. Do you understand? No, this is such an amazing thing. It's very difficult to understand, isn't it? Here she is, a demoness. She came fully intending to kill baby Krishna. And yet, she has this amazing reaction. So much so, so purified does she become that she smells like incense when they're burning her body. Of course, we shouldn't think we'll smell like incense when they're burning our body. Nasty. Hearing about the activities of Krishna is the beginning of purified life. Punya Shravana Kirtana. Simply by hearing and chanting, one becomes purified. Therefore, in discharging devotional service, Shravana Kirtana, hearing and chanting, is most important. Then, with purified senses, one renders service unto the Lord. Rishikena Rishikesha Shevana. Bhaktir Uchchate. This is called bhakti. When Putana was somehow or other, directly or indirectly, induced to render some service to the Lord by feeding him with her breast, she was immediately purified, so much so that when her nasty material body was burnt to ashes, it gave off the fragrance of aguru, the most agreeably scented herb. Stop there, because in America, when we say herb, we say herb for some reason. But in Australia, they say herb. We say herbal garden, they say herbal garden. I think herb is better. Anyway, this is amazing. Amazing. Anyway, some important points are made here. Not that we should all start thinking, yes, I'm going to smell like a guru. But the important point here is, Prabhupada makes in the purport, Shravanam Kirtanam. Hearing and chanting. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. Somehow thinking about Krishna. What's next? Parasevanam. Serving the lotus feet. Goes on. How many? I can't remember. I'll tell you, I'm in the modes. I slept 12 hours. My brain is dead. Anyway, nasty. The nasty material body. When I had my appendix out last week, so I'll tell you a disgusting story, but it's meant, it has a Krishna conscious conclusion. So the doctor was telling me, yes, we cut your navel. They shove this camera and a light in through your navel. And then we cut the, they make two little holes. They cut the appendix off, do all the sewing. He said, then we pull the appendix out through your navel. So I said to the doctor, I said, that's disgusting. And the doctor said to me, it's all disgusting. We think these bodies are so wonderful, each of us. We think it's so wonderful, but it's all disgusting. And the illusion is so dense that every day when we get up and we pass stool, we're thinking, well, mine doesn't smell. But his smells. But mine is fine. Isn't it? Isn't that true? That's how much an illusion we are. By associating with our own stool, we begin to think it doesn't smell. So the power of association. You know that joke. I've told that joke before, but I'll tell it again because I'm in a good mood. Prabhupada told this joke in 1970 in Los Angeles. He was talking about the power of association. He said, you know, in my country, in India, they pass stool in the fields. So this man went into the field and he passed stool, and then he was looking down at the stool with a look of disgust on his face. And the stool looked up at him and said, why are you looking at me with such disgust on your face? He said, last night I was the most delectable gulab jamun, but due to one night's association with you, I have become this disgusting thing. That's the power of association. And power with Krishna transforms the other way. In the material world, anything we come into contact with is just stool. That's how you have to see it. It's just disgusting. But if we come into contact with Krishna, Prabhupada says here, somehow or other, directly or indirectly even. We become transformed. Was that good? Did you have a good breakfast? Who just burped? These bodies are a source of embarrassment. Directly or indirectly, somehow or other, if you come into contact with Krishna, you become purified. I once asked Prabhupada, because I think it's in the Nectar of Devotion, where it says, anyone, even unknowingly, if they stand up while the Rath card of Jagannath is passing, they become liberated. Whether they know it or not, whether you know, they just happen to stand up for some other reason while Jagannath is passing by, they become liberated. So I said to Prabhupada, it says that even if you don't know, knowingly or unknowingly, if you stand up when Jagannath card is passing by, you become liberated. I said, is that true? Because it seemed too easy to me. Prabhupada looked at me and he said, yes. So, That's what it says, then it must be true. If the Vedas say it, if the Shastra says it, it must be true. Whether I can understand it or not, inconsequential? Doesn't matter. I'll use another word. Doesn't matter whether I can understand it or not. If it says it in the Shastra, it's true. Prabhupada was so committed to the Vedic literature. Everything he did and every news he heard, his devotees would come to him with different world activities, things going on. Everything he compared to the Vedas, to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, when they said they went to the moon, Prabhupada said, no, they didn't go to the moon. He was like the only person in the entire planet, one person out of, 4 or 5 billion at that time, who said, no, everyone was, ooh, they went to the moon. Prabhupada said, no, they didn't go to the moon. He didn't say they didn't try. He gave many arguments. I'll tell you some of those arguments, because he told them to me in Boston. He said, they might have gone to another planet. He said, because the moon planet is a heavenly planet, it has rivers of Somaras, a heavenly intoxicant, he said. And because it's a little cool there, the demigods drink the heavenly intoxicant, Somaras River, to keep warm. Then he looked at me and he said, and no hangover. Specifically looked at me. So he said, so there are people, there are trees, it's a heavenly planet, so they might have gone to another planet. Then another time he said, in the moonlight, full moonlight, you can practically read a book by the light of the full moon. He said, so the moon may be covered with diamonds to reflect that light. So many arguments he gave that they didn't go to the moon. I think in India now they want to go to the moon. You're always way behind in this materialistic life, India. Like I saw, you're pumping gas now through the ground, right? I said, what is that yellow pipe? I said, oh, we're getting our gas pumped in. No more gas bottles. I said, in the West, we've been doing that for 120 years. I said, so now you're only 120 years behind us. Anyway, the important thing is, somehow or other, we have to stay attached to Krishna. Somehow or other, we have to chant Hare Krishna. Nothing else is important. Nothing. Nothing. Because at any moment, what will happen? Death. Catastrophe. Death. I never thought last week when I got up, I had a little pain. And then as the day went on, it got worse and worse, where I couldn't even, every step I took was like bang, like a stab. Hammer in my belly. I didn't expect that. I was expecting to, go in the temple, chant Hare Krishna, tease my godbrothers, cause some trouble, stir the pot, take prasad, do so many things, hang out with Ambarish, harass Braja Vilas, play around with Kala Samvara. I was planning my day as usual. The next thing I know, 4-hour drive to Calcutta, which was like hell. You know that road. In the middle of the night, oh my God, it was with a thing in my arm. Look. I never expected it. And do you know what I noticed most of all? I didn't chant Hare Krishna. But I must say, and I don't mean this in a proud way, I often feared that when death is approaching, I won't chant Hare Krishna. But while I was lying on the operating table waiting for them to wheel me in, I was very peaceful. They hadn't given me any sedative or anything. I was just peaceful. I was just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Then I said, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. Just like that. Just chanting Hare Krishna and Jai Prabhupada over and over and over. Then they wheeled me in and boink, it was gone. Senseless, that's death. For a devotee, there's no... I heard a class Prabhupada gave in Vrindavan in 1972. Yamaraj does not come for the devotees. So it is very important that somehow or other, directly or even indirectly, we become devotees, and somehow or other, directly or indirectly, we keep ourselves connected to Shravanam Kirtanam, Vishnu. Not Shravanam Kirtanam Big B. Or not, you're laughing because you keep up with Bollywood, don't you? Not Shravanam Kirtanam Ashraya. Not Shravanam Kirtanam Rahul. Not Shravanam Kirtanam anyone but Vishnu, Krishna. Because only Krishna can save us. Isn't it? Only Krishna. And if you chant Hare Krishna even once, you will be saved from the most hellish future. That's the lesson we should be learning from this. You know, it's hard to understand that when Putana died, when Krishna sucked her life out, she became 9 miles long. That's a hard one to believe. That's longer than this temple room. 9 miles goes from here to the Intercontinental Hotel or beyond to Nullarbor Point. Can you imagine someone so big? So we think our conditioning is, oh, this is mythical. It's just a folk tale. But no, it says it here, I'm sure, in the previous shlokas. 9 miles long. Is it 9 or 7? 12. Even more unbelievable. It's a lot of incense. But it says it in the it says it in the Bhagavatam. It must be true. Just because I can't understand it doesn't mean it's not true. A very important point. Just because I don't understand how chanting Hare Krishna will save me from another birth somewhere in this universe doesn't mean it's not true. For something to be true, it is not dependent upon the puny living entity's acceptance by their understanding. I have no understanding. I'll give you an example. All the years I was with Prabhupada and the times I served him directly or even indirectly, I never understood who Prabhupada was. I wish I had the little glimmer of understanding, realization that I have of Prabhupada now. I wish I had it then, but I didn't. I was so ignorant. But there was something primal, you know, primal, like deep inside of me, that made me want to serve that man. Just, it was like automatic. It was not even by choice. It was like automatic. But I didn't understand why or how or who Prabhupada was. Pure devotee meant nothing to me. Even now, it's difficult to understand. However, the pivot point is Prabhupada. Just like in ISKCON, we have so many devotees, we have so many temples, things are going on or not going on, that's the nature of the world. But the pivot point in every temple is Prabhupada. Isn't it? Whether we understand him or not, I do not understand the Bhagavatam. I can't even understand his English. Where is he? Where'd he go? He ran away. I can't even understand his English translation of the prayers this morning. But even I don't understand his English translation, to hear it is beneficial for me. I certainly am not a Sanskritist. I don't understand anything about Sanskrit. But to hear it, whether I understand it or not, is beneficial. And Hare Krishna, how do I know Krishna? How can I know? An insignificant bug I am. How can I hold forth on subjects of Krishna? I don't know Krishna. Oh, I talk about Krishna's beauty and his relationship. Because you hear this very much, especially here in India, and even now outside. The Gopi Bhav, what we call Gopi Bhav clubs. They gather together to talk about the relationship between Radha and Krishna and sweetness and rasa. And I don't even know who I am. I am firmly committed 24 hours a day to believing I'm my body. How can I talk about Radha and Krishna? We can, but not that we shouldn't, but it should be done in a formal gathering like we do in our temples. We Govinda prayers, we gaze at the deities. I don't know what I'm looking at. Just like when I was massaging Prabhupada, I didn't realize I'm touching a perfect pure devotee, and I was getting purified. Look at me today. You can imagine how impure I was. Even today, I'm totally impure. Imagine back then. But Prabhupada so kindly allowed me to touch his body and massage his feet and massage his back and massage his head. That was one of my services. He was so kind. I didn't know while I was massaging him, I was getting purified. And Putana, she had no idea. Her intent was to kill him. It's a terrible thing to want to kill another human being, unless you're on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. That's different. Then you want to kill. Why? Why? Because Krishna wanted everyone to die. People think, no war, everyone peace, happy, peace, man, peace. War is bad. No, war is good when it's directed, ordered by Krishna. And there'll always be war, you don't read papers here, thank God. You're very fortunate. Don't do that with your knee. You're very fortunate. You don't have mobile phones. Oh, you're very fortunate. But there's always a war going on somewhere. But when that war is ordered by Krishna, it becomes a transcendental event, and everyone becomes liberated at least. At least. Everyone on that battlefield was liberated. There's another example of inconceivable. What does Prabhupada say? 640 million people were killed. I can't conceive of so many people being killed in 18 days. Or I'll tell you another inconceivable idea, another inconceivable thing. In 1971, I was in Nairobi with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was talking one evening. He wanted to make a movie. I said, oh, that's nice, Prabhupada. He said, yes, I want to make a movie of the Bhagavad Gita. Mahabharat. I said, oh, great, Prabhupada. He said, yes, it will be 18 days long. Now, that's a blockbuster. That would be a box office blockbuster. A movie that ran for 18 days. He said, one day for every day of the Battle of Kurukshetra. And he said, Shyamasundar will play Arjun. And Brahmananda will be Bhima. And Gargamuni, he said, will play the crooked-minded Uncle Shakuni. And I said, what about me, Prabhupada? He said, you will be my assistant. And he said, I will direct every scene. Inconceivable. How big, Prabhupada thought. All right, I'm going to make a movie. I'll make a movie 18 days long, something no one has ever seen. Because everything is based on Shastra. Battle of Kurukshetra was 18 days long. I'll make a movie 18 days long. It's inconceivable to us how a movie can go for 18 days. But that's what he wanted. It's inconceivable to us that Bhutan is 12 miles long. But She was, whether I can conceive of it or not, does not matter. This is the most important point. Krishna, God, is not dependent upon our individual understanding of him. Because what is the word? Achyuta? Achintya. Inconceivable. Which one is it? Huh? Achintya. He's inconceivable. What is that shloka in the Brahma Samhita? Achintya. Huh? Advaitam achyutam ananta rupam. Unlimited. Unlimited forms. Yes, Krishna is God. He can, does, and will. There's nothing he can't do, and there's nothing he hasn't done. Yet, in this position, way, just totally beyond our understanding, he allows us to speak his name. He allows us to speak his name. And by speaking his name, what happens? Let me just go to the purport here. Such are the effects of Krishna consciousness. If one somehow or other, directly or indirectly, become Krishna conscious by applying your senses in the service of the Lord, one is immediately freed from material contamination. Immediate. Inconceivable. Because Krishna has to make it easy for us, because we're suffering and stubbornly insisting to remain in this world and spending our days and weeks and years making plans how to manipulate the material energy to become happy and stay here forever. Isn't that what everyone's doing? The banana wala on the street is doing it. The big, big industrialist is doing it. Everyone is, the prime minister, the president of the United States, everyone is manipulating the material energy in order to become happy somehow, to become happy. Always promise, promise. You know, the carrot in front of the donkey. You know how they get a donkey to move? They put it on a pole, they put a carrot, and he's always going after the carrot, but he can never reach it, but he's moving along. Oh, I have to get that carrot, I have to get that carrot, right? But he can never, he never gets the carrot. So the carrot in this world, Maya's carrot, is you will be happy in this world. You will be happy. Keep going. And you become more and more entangled. Oh, it's a terrible situation. And here, Krishna is saying, somehow or other, directly or indirectly, chant my name, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, and you will immediately be freed from material contamination, and we don't believe it. Huh? What material contamination, we say? I'm happy here. You know the story of Indra becomes a pig and Brahma, that things are not going right in the material universal affairs. Lord Brahma comes and says, my dear son, he said, you have to go back to your post. You're Indra. No, I'm happy here. I have my wife, my piglets, my little piglets. Such illusion we're in. Don't do that with your leg. Everyone does that. I know what. Anyway, Prabhupada said, don't do that. Bouncing the knee. I don't know why I'm thinking nine. Maybe someone else was 9 miles. 12 miles long. Could be. They dig up dinosaur bones. They say they're huge, bigger than this room. It could be. Maybe the dinosaur that's bigger than this room was Putana's pet. Who knows? Everything is relative, right? There are trees in America on the West Coast. Oh, they go up forever and ever. Redwoods, sequoias, huge trees. You can drive a car through them. They're so big, and they go up and up and up and up and up. So there are many big things. Mount Everest, so big. There are big things. Do not depend upon understanding by empirical method, by my own sensory perception. Do not depend on believing in things only if I can perceive it by my senses or my mind. Krishna's way, way beyond that. And just appreciate that by chanting Hare Krishna, here are the purports, here is the shloka in the Srimad Bhagavatam, here is the purport, the Bhaktivedanta purports, telling you, don't worry, somehow or other, just chant Hare Krishna, and together, because we don't want to go alone, together we'll all go back to home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Oh yes, I forgot to say, Chikungunya, if you're listening, I hope you get better. I'm so sick. We're so proud of our bodies, but a little teeny, teeny mosquito, teeny, can bring you down. He's so tall, Gauranga Priya, tall, like over 6 foot tall. Big Punjabi, right? Lots of what is that food? Aloo paratha makes you big, right? Tall, 6 foot 2, and a little teeny mosquito you couldn't even see. Boom, over he goes. That's this world. At every step, there's danger. At every step, the most germ that you can't even see with your eye. You can only see under a microscope. Kills people every day. Anyway, you get better, Gauranga Priya, because I miss you. The rest of them, they're all useless. I'm talking to him now. Radha Jyoti, of course, he means well, but he was useless when he tried to take care of me. Braja Kirti, he's all right, but you know, the electricity keeps going off in the bathroom. This is just a little personal rasa that we're all having, because you all know everyone. This is like family. So I don't want to leave on that light note. Just chant Hare Krishna. Whether you understand it or not, and you will go back to Krishna. Whether you deserve it or not, doesn't matter. You will reach the perfection of life. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Come on, let's go, let's go. Keep it simple. What is the question?
He's telling now. He had to tell.
He wants to preach the Bhagavatam? Tell him next time. He can give the class tomorrow. Today is my day. Anyone have a question? Braj Vilas, do you have a question? You need a microphone? What's the use? I don't understand your English anyway. My body.
First, thank you for your very nice class. Second thing is you spoke about inconceivable things. I just wanted you to mention the temple which is coming up in Mayapur is also inconceivable in one sense. So can you little bit elaborate on those inconceivable facts?
What's he saying?
What is it? The temple in Mayapur that is coming up is inconceivable. So can you just give us more facts about what's happening there?
That's your job. You're here to collect money. The temple at Mayapur, the international headquarters that we're constructing at Mayapur, the Sri Mayapur Chandrodaya Mandir, Temple of the Vedic Planetarium, is coming along very nicely. We made a presentation to the GBC and all of the leaders that are there for this leadership convention, whatever they're having there. And we put it on our webpage, tovp.org. It's a half-hour presentation. Everyone loved it, so much so that our webpage crashed yesterday. So many people were trying to download. So any of you who are privy to a computer, you can see that nice presentation and maybe show it here in the temple. Very nice. Tells you all about the temple, and Ambarish is speaking, and Sadbhuj is speaking. These are the inconceivable things. It's coming along rapidly, and will come along even more rapidly if Braj Vilas would do his job and collect money so we can finish it. It will be, when completed, 350 feet high, which is higher than this apartment house across the on the other side. You know the big part, higher than that. No, it's a pretty wonderful project, and I'm honored, privileged to be able to take some part in it. It was a service which Prabhupada gave me in 1971, and by Krishna's mercy, I'm able to, with the help of our team, we're a team, we're not a committee, but the devotees working, Sadbhuj, especially Sadbhuj, Ambarish, and I, even though I'm the creative director, like someone said to me the other day, one of our artists, well, who decides that that's nice and this is not? I said, me. I said, I'm the creative director. I'm your boss. But I don't decide without showing to Ambarish to get his input. Or like I designed the deity, the house, what we call the deity house, where the deities will be, beautiful blue marble, white marble domes and everything, within the temple, within the big temple. But then Sadbhuj, he added some details which made it even more beautiful. So that's how a team works. We're not egocentric, oh, how could you do that, So that's the most wonderful thing, that by teamwork, you can accomplish wonderful things. And there's many, of course, questions about, oh, is it the Adbhut Mandir? Of course, in Prabhupada's time, all of the discussions that he had with me about Adbhut, he never mentioned once Adbhut. But it's discussed in, who is it? Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Look at the pigeon. Somehow or other, directly or indirectly. The pigeon got the association of the devotees. His liberation is guaranteed. Now you can't understand that, can you? I don't understand. But that's directly, knowingly or unknowingly. If you stand up when the Jagannath cart passes by, you're liberated. That pigeon has no idea. So, what was I saying? Adbhut. So Adbhut means wonderful. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Nityananda Prabhu predicted an Adbhut Mandir would come up at Mayapur. So I was meditating on that, you know, because there's a controversy. This is not the Adbhut Mandir, you know. I said, Adbhut or not Adbhut, we're building this temple because Prabhupada wanted it. So the other day I was lying in my hospital bed and I was thinking, Adbhut means wonderful. And actually Prabhupada did call it the Adbhut Mandir, but this is how he called it. He said to us, what is the use of being Americans unless you can do something wonderful for Lord Chaitanya? He was talking about the temple. What is the use of being Americans unless you can do something wonderful for Lord Chaitanya? So in that way, he said, this is the Adbhut Mandir. He was encouraging us. And I say to all of you and all of those who are listening in, what is the use of your economic boom in India unless you give some money to the temple of the Vedic Planetarium, Sri Mayapur Chandradoya Mandir? Otherwise, all of your money, all of your millions, all of your billions will be the cause of your hellish, future hellish condition. But if you give something to Braj Vilas, our fundraising in charge, you will be liberated. Even you live in a 26-story building, that's your house. If you give something to Krishna, you will be liberated. You know, last time when we were here, Srinathji asked the question, what about better, it's easier to thread a camel through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into heaven? And I said, yes, that's a Christian idea. But Hare Krishna is so nice that you can buy your way back to Godhead. Buy a ticket. Just give to Krishna, to us, for the Mayapur Chandradoya Mandir. And if you have no money, you just chant Hare Krishna. You get the same thing. Isn't it? It's a wonderful process. Speaking of which, I have to end now. I'm sorry. Now, I'll tell you this one thing. I listened to a tape. Prabhupada, this is just on a completely different subject. Prabhupada was talking about the three kinds of devotees, Kanishta, Madhyam, Uttam. He said, Krishna is like the sun, that where you have the sun, you have shadow. He said, a man may stay in his room, shut out all the light, and snore, and sleep, and think he's, and enjoy his sleeping. He said, but a devotee, he rises early, 4 a.m., and this is ironic that I'm talking about, I got up at 7, and goes into the light. They don't want the shadow. They go into the light, Mangal Arti. He said, unless you rise early and go into the light and attend Mangal Arti, you will remain a Kanishta for the rest of your life. He said, it's a process for elevating yourself. You have to do it up to the platform of Madhyam Arakari, by Mangal Arti, by following the process. And he said, the most important thing is this Mangal Arti, and you're there when the sun, the dawn comes, the light comes. He said, the ignorant, they want to stay in darkness. But the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas, they want to be in the light. That's the importance of Mangal Arti, in case you didn't know. All right? Hare Krishna. Thank you.